Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord's good, isn't he? All the time, amen. He can't help but be anything but good. And I praise his name for it, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, to the God. Psalms chapter number 116. Psalms 116, amen. I like to hear them pages turning from God's Word. Amen. Hope you've got great anticipation in your heart for the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Amen. Psalms 116. We'll start a reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, I love the Lord. What a good way to start a psalm. What a good way to start a day. What a good way to start a life. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Amen. Amen. Boy, the devil just said, if I can get you down, I've got you. But getting you down might be getting you in a good position to get some help. Amen. David said, I was brought low and he helped me. I'm glad the Lord's able to help the lowly. Amen. I think the Lord has a problem helping the high and mighty. But if we'll get in that low place, humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God, I believe he'll help us. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and he helped me. Verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Boy, there's a message in itself. Three things he said the Lord has delivered him from: my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. There's another reference to how faith ought to motivate you. We talked about in Peter, you know, he said, I've not seen him, but I rejoice. Amen. Here it says, I believed, and therefore I've spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Miss Shannon's favorite verse. But Miss Shannon misquotes it all the time. You have to watch them like that, you know. They just take parts of the Bible to make it say what they want to. She says, all men are liars. That's all she'll quote, you know. But You know, that's why God didn't call women to preach. Amen. Say amen, Brother Matt. The Lord interjected that to your wife right there. Amen. Straighten her out. I said in verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Pray with us and for us, and then you can be seated. Father, thank you so much for your presence being in our midst today. Lord, I thank you for those that have done business with you about issues in the past. Thank you for speaking to hearts, Lord, on last Sunday night and putting your finger on some things through the preaching of the Word of God. And we thank you for people making it their business, Lord, to deal with whatever needed to be dealt with, because I can sure sense a difference in the atmosphere of our church. And we give you the praise, Lord, Lord, for that. And Lord, we just ask you, God, that you continue to help us. Lord, without you, we're much aware that we can do nothing. I pray now for that sharpness of mind and clarity of thought. I pray that you'll give us that power and unction that makes preaching effective. And Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over everything, anything that would grieve the Holy Ghost, that would hinder the Spirit of God from using us this morning. I pray that you'll hide us in our calling. Oh God, preach me, Lord, as if it'd be my last time, and it may very well be. Have your way, Lord, and help people to listen as if it may be the last message they'll ever hear, and it may very well be. God, we may very well be sitting in our last church service on earth. Lord, we, God, could be at the end of the heavenlies, Lord, by in just a moment or two. But Lord, help us, dear God, in the meantime, to be found faithful, doing the will of God and the work of God. Use me, God, this morning for your grand and great glory. And I want to say again, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for praying for me and standing for the reading of the Word of God. Now, there, of course, needless to say that there is an enormous amount of preaching that can be done from these verses that we read. And I'm pretty certain that probably you thought, this being Thanksgiving week and all of that, that I would probably be preaching out of verse 17 when David said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And my, the preaching that can be brought out of that verse of Scripture. But that's not the verse particularly. I'm going to reference it later. But the verse the Lord's laid upon my heart for the service this morning is verse number 12. When David asked the question, after giving a roll call of blessings, David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What a question. What a question. David was just at a loss. He was at a loss for the answer to that question. I mean, when you consider the benefits of God and then wonder, Lord, what could I possibly render unto you for all those benefits? It would almost seem like that we'd be at a loss for the answer. But I believe in this chapter there is the answer, or at least some answers that we can give to that question. What shall I render unto the Lord? So I want to preach this morning on what shall I render unto the Lord. Amen? I'm thankful for that word benefits, and we'll focus in on it in a little bit. But that word benefits is used also in Psalms 103. And we quote these verses a lot around here. Verse 1, bless the Lord. O my soul and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord. O my soul and forget not all His benefits. I like this verse. It talks about the benefits of God. I feel God. I don't know about y'all. Psalm 68 in verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Oh Lord, we could jump in that pool and swim around a while. I promise you that. Blessed be the Lord. Why? Who daily, I like that, devil hates that, who daily loadeth us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Well, I got curious. I can't hardly study in one portion without getting in other portions. Amen. I like it. But I just couldn't help but do a little, just a little word study right there on that word daily. I couldn't hardly help myself with that. Amen. But that word daily, now it's going to be deep. You're going to miss it if you're not careful. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up. If He daily loads us up with benefits, then our blessing Him ought to be daily. And daily means every day. It means all day. every day, all day, presently, continually, perpetually, always, everlasting, and evermore. You see what that's saying? We ought to bless Him because He loads us up daily with benefits. Every day, all day, presently, continually, perpetually, and right on through to the eternal evermore. And I thought about that. Amen. That God will never stop loading us up with blessings. And a thankful person, a grateful person, focuses on the blessings more than on the burdens of life. Focuses on the blessings versus the battles of life. But I found this out, ladies and gentlemen, that that word daily loading us up with benefits, daily meaning it's in the imperfect tense. And you know what that means? That means it expresses an action or a process or a condition that is incomplete. You didn't get that. In other words, what that means is God daily loading us up is unending. It is unstoppable. And you know what? That it is not even going to stop with death. The grave cannot even stop that. Thank God the Bible said one day, He daily loadeth us up. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So as we step out of time into eternity, I want to tell you God is still continually, unendingly, going to be loading us up with blessings and benefits. We're not going to be in heaven twiddling our thumb, amen, and putting our toes in the river of life, wondering what we're going to do for the next trillion years. I want to tell you, thank God, He is going to load us up, amen. And I'm glad God knows how to load us up. Amen, I like that, don't you? Praise God, our days will never end. Our days will never end, and therefore the loads of blessings and benefits will never end either. Amen. But what shall I render unto the Lord? Psalm 56:12, Thy vows are upon me, O God, and I will render praises unto Thee. Well, there's one answer you could put on that question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Right there in Psalm 56:12 tells us that we will render praises unto the Lord. Amen. You don't praise God because your circumstances are pleasant. Now listen to me now. The Bible said in John 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Did you know you cannot, listen, you can worship God and not even open your mouth. You can worship God and not, and nobody around you even know it. But you cannot praise God that way. Praise God is visible and verbal, and everybody around you will know it. Amen. We ought to render unto Him the praises from our lips. 1 Thessalonians 3:9, for what thanks we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Paul is saying in that verse in Thessalonians that we're going to render thanks to the God. We're going to render thanks to God. But anyway, I want to just kind of jump into 1:16 here and look at some things and trust God will help us with it. The first thing I just simply want to point out about verse number 12 is the mercy of the benefits. The mercy of the benefits. And that is, nothing is stated in this verse or even in this chapter of David sensing any worthiness on his part. David is realizing that all of these benefits that are directed, I like this, toward him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My mind's going 100 miles an hour right now. Amen. What little's there. Amen. But oh, mercy. David is saying, God, what you're doing, what you're giving, what you're directing toward me is of mercy. It's not because of merit. It's not because of deserving. Oh, if God give us what we deserve this morning, I promise you it'd be more like blisterings and beatings instead of benefits and blessings. Amen. And by the way, I just thought to let you know this morning that the goodness of God ought to lead you to repentance. Amen. Amen. But don't let the goodness of God run out on you and turn into wrath and judgment. Amen. It's better to get right with God, offer Him being good to you, than for you to get right with God after He's took measures against you. Amen. But I just simply wanted to point that out and just keep us reminded this morning that what God does is mercy. Amen. He cannot benefit me. He cannot bless me. He cannot do anything for me except through mercy. And we'll say more about that in a little bit. Amen. But he realizes God's been good to him. Number two, quickly, and that's just simply just a reminder, that first point, the mercy of the benefits. Number two, the many of the benefits. The many of the benefits. I mean, how could we number them? How could we name all of them? I mean, you think about the benefits of God that we know, and then you think about the benefits of God that we don't know. Think about the benefits of God we can see, and then think about the benefits of God we cannot see. But I want to go down through this chapter, if I could, just briefly, and point out some of those many manifold benefits. The first one is found in verse 1 through 4. I'm not going to reread them. I've already read them. I hope you were listening. But what is emphasized in the first four verses is God hears me. Does anybody know that that's a benefit? Does anybody look at that as a great benefit that God has bestowed upon us? Amen. That God hears me. Well, now that probably won't mean much to you. That probably won't mean much to you unless you realize that it is in a time of sorrow, in verse 3, a time that the pains of hell hath got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. And then verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, I appreciate the song Brother Craddock started the service out with this morning. I must tell Jesus. Thank God for the benefit that you and I have of being able to be heard of God. Amen. Boy, that ought to motivate you this morning. That ought to stir your heart. So the first one I want to mention is, and we're just going to be going through here just to get in it, so you're going to have to listen good, all right? So verse 1 through 4, he talks about God hears me. That's a good benefit. And then verse number 5, he talks about God's attributes toward me. Look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, and our God is merciful. He mentions three things right there. He mentions three attributes there. One, gracious. Everybody knows what grace is. Unmerited favor, undeserved favor. Amen. God helping those that do not deserve it. Oh, yes. Thank God for that benefit, that God is gracious toward me. And then it said he was righteous in verse number 5. He was righteous, which means he's always right. He's always correct, and he's always just. Now, Brother Tim, I want to tell you, there's times that all of us in here, when we go through a valley or a battle and it's dark and it's difficult, if you're not careful, you'll question the rightness of God. You'll question, Lord, what are you doing? Why did you allow this? Why did you not stop this? Why have you not moved upon this situation? Why have you not changed my circumstance? Amen. I tell you, and I'm not going to go back and deal with it, but there's times that the devil has tried to get me to accuse God. We know in Revelations that it says that he's accuser of the brethren. Amen. And not false accuser. That he is the accuser of the brethren. That is, he goes before God and he accuses God, us to God. Look what they're doing. Look where they've been. Look what they're saying. Look at this. Look at this. Amen. But I believe that also that devil accuses God to us. If God loved you, if God really loved you, God really cared about you, you wouldn't go through this. You wouldn't have this. You wouldn't be feeling this way. Things would be different. Amen. Oh, you can't believe that. Why? Just as the devil, my friend, has got wrong motives. He's got wrong motives when he accuses us to God. But he's also got wrong motives when he accuses God to us and tries to get us to doubt God and tries to get us to fall out with God and to try to get bitter with God. How many people, listen now, listen carefully what I'm going to say. Some people need to forgive God. Not that he done wrong, but that you misunderstood something that he did or didn't do. Amen. You need to get that bitterness out of your heart. There's people, my friend, that's throw church aside, throw the Bible aside, throw the will of God aside because they think God has done them wrong. Oh, I want to tell you, He is right. Whether you can explain it, whether you can understand it, whether you can see it, God is right. Amen. I tell you, I had peace flood my soul back when my mom and dad left this world back-to-back years. My two heroes in this world, buddy. Amen. They were gone in 06 and 07. They were gone, and the devil tried to get me to fall out with God about that thing, to question God and all of that. Amen. And I saw what was happening, and it was being effective for a while. But when I saw what was happening, it became a reality to me who it was that was behind my thoughts and my feelings, trying to turn me against the only one really that loves me. Oh, I want to tell you, I went in my prayer closet and I said, God, I don't understand why you took mom and dad. I don't need to understand. You don't owe me an explanation. In the sweet by and by, you don't have to tell me nothing. I make a choice right here today. You did right. Amen. Amen. We don't live by explanations. Not once does it say that in the Bible. But it does say four times, the just shall live by faith. He is right. He is correct. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. If you think he's done wrong, it's on your end. It's because you're looking at God with a human mind. You're trying to reason him out. You're trying to put him in your shoebox. Amen. Best thing to do to have peace in life is let God be God and trust Him. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. But then it said a third thing was He's merciful. He's merciful. Oh, yeah. Gracious. Gracious means He's unmerited favor. He gives me what I don't deserve. Merciful means He holds back what I do deserve. Amen. Oh, if I got what I deserve this morning, I wouldn't be up here preaching. I wouldn't be feeling the good presence of God in the service this morning. Oh, no, friend. But thank God the attributes of God toward me are a benefit. He's gracious, righteous, and merciful. If you're taking notes, let's write down a third thing. Verse number 6, I find a third great benefit that's in this passage is that God preserveth the simple. Oh, glory to God, that's good. Verse number 6, God preserveth the simple. The Lord preserveth the simple. Now, if you're not simple, that won't mean much to you. You know what the word simple means? God preserveth the simple, meaning God preserves those that lack wisdom. Hello, are we not all qualified? Those who lack, listen, it's not all the definition. Those who lack wisdom and who experience exposes them to danger. In other words, we not only lack wisdom, but our experience in life that comes from our choices exposes us to danger. Just like a little child. He just very likely as not stick his finger in a light socket. Amen. Why? Lack wisdom. And that lack of wisdom allowed that experience to expose him to danger. Boy, listen, that's who God said He preserves. Oh, if we listen, before you get too puffed up, amen, thinking you're it, and that God can't operate without us, hey, I want you to know God classifies us as simple. In fact, if it wasn't for Him preserving us, no telling where we'd be, what mess we'd be in this very morning. Thank God, that's a benefit that He preserveth the simple. I like that. The word preserveth just simply means keep. He keeps the simple. Watches over us, Brother Preston. Here you go, number 4. I got to hurry. I got a lot of preaching to do this morning. Somebody say, oh Lord. Number 4, God helps me. Verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Oh, thank God for that benefit. Is that not a benefit? The Lord helping us. Oh, I'm telling David said, or Paul said, Samuel said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. When he raised up the Ebenezer rock, the stone, he said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Amen. Paul said in Acts 27, having obtained help of the Lord, I continue unto this day. Thank God the Lord has helped us. Amen. So that's a great benefit, is it not? He's helped us. That word help means to give victory to, and to deliver or to save. He has helped us. He helps who? Those that are brought low. Those that are brought low, we commented on that a while ago. But that word simply means emptied. Those that have been emptied. Those that are dried up. That's got to be Baptist. Those that are impoverished. He said, I'm going to help that crowd. Boy, that's a benefit. Oh, I'm telling you this. Here's your number five. You ready? Number five, verse number seven. God's bountiful dealings toward me. Look at verse number seven. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Oh, yes. God hath dealt bountifully. The word bountiful means to treat well. Hey, I'm going to tell you, God's treated us well, hasn't he? If God treated us like we treat God, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? Isn't that the truth? God help us. But he's helping us. Oh, I can't stress that enough, how much of a benefit that is, that God helps me. And then, and that God's bountiful dealings with me. God is treating me well. Somebody asked me, said, how's the world treating you? I said, well, the world's not treating me too good, but God sure is. Amen. God sure is. Amen. That's right. Hey, amen. And here just in a short period of time, we'll be going into December and in the Christmas time of the year, and I'm not about to give no credit to no jelly belly. Amen. I'm going to give credit to Jesus. He's the one that's been good to me. That's right. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. I don't mind preaching that. Amen. God's bountiful dealings. He treats us well. Then the sixth thing that I notice as a benefit is found in verse number 8. And he mentions three of those, of God's deliverance. What a benefit, God's deliverance. He delivers my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Lord mercy, the truths that are wrapped up in those three statements. But I've got to move on. I don't have time to really bog in and elaborate on those. You just have to take note on those and study those out for yourself. But the third thing I want to deal with this morning, we talked about the mercy of these benefits. We've talked about the many of these benefits. But I want to focus in this morning for the remaining part of the message on the moving of these benefits. As David wrote this psalm, and as he realizes God has been good to him. You know what David said? Lord, I owe you something. Oh, Lord, what can I render? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? David has said, when I consider how the Lord's been good to me and how the Lord has blessed me and how the Lord has benefited me, he said, it's moving me. It's moving me. It's inspiring me. That word render means to give back. Lord, what can I give back to you? It's not just you giving me. And you can hear most people's praying and you can tell what the problem is. Give me, give me, give me, give us, do this, do this. Amen. Hey, what's wrong with coming to God and saying, God, I don't really want nothing. I just want to give something back to you. I want to bless you. I want to praise you. I want to adore you. I want to magnify you. I want to glorify you. What would be so wrong with that? Amen. Amen. Sometimes we act like it's one-sided. It's all about what God's doing in me and giving me and handing out to me. But what about us doing something for God? That's what that implies, does it not? That question, what shall I render unto the Lord? Lord, I want to do something back. I want to do something back so that I can show you my thankfulness and my gratitude and my honor. Amen. I like this. Verse 12, he said, what shall I render unto the Lord? He said, what shall I render? Not what shall we render? What shall they render? Oh, no. What shall I render? That shows me right there that other people doesn't control what I do. Other people doesn't control my life. Other people doesn't control my spirituality. Say amen right there. And I'm glad it's that way. Amen. I'm glad it's that way. I had a fella, well, amen. I don't want to get on too personal on that. Amen. I'm not afraid to. Not afraid to. I just don't want to get too personal. Amen. Somebody talking about me the other day said something to me. And I said, hey, whoa. I said, wait a minute. I said, I don't have a pastor. Amen. By the way, I don't have no pacifiers. I've told you that before. I just wanted to let you know I still don't have any. I don't have no pacifiers. If you need burping, you got the wrong preacher. Amen. I mean, if you got problems, need somebody to pray with you, and amen, and all that, call. I'll try to do my best to help you, amen. But just, amen, constantly burping Baptist, I don't have that ministry. That's what's giving me ulcers anyway, amen. I'm out of that business. And I told this individual, I said, I don't have no pastor. I said, I don't have a pastor that I can call and say, hey, I got a problem. I've got an issue. Will you pray for me? I don't have a pastor. I've not had a pastor in probably 20-something years. As far as I know, last report I had, my pastor don't even go to church. I don't have a pastor. Amen. You know what, Brother Tim? And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just simply saying what I've always said here. My spirituality is my business. My spirituality is my responsibility. Amen. If I'm low, I need to do something about it. Amen. I don't need somebody else and all them coming around and petting on me. I need somebody to pray for me. But my spiritual level is my business. Amen. That's right. Amen. Hello. Now, I didn't say I didn't need you. I didn't say that. You misunderstood if you thought that. I'm just simply saying I'm not waiting on a call to pick me up. I'm not waiting on a card to pick me up. I'm not waiting on none of that. Amen. When I see myself getting in cold shape or carnal shape or whatever, I start making moves to change that. Amen. And really, in a sense, you're the pastor yourself. As far as your spiritual life is concerned. Well, I don't know where that went, amen. But he said personally. He said, I will render. And then it's voluntarily. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord? There's no force. There's no pressure. There's no coercion here. We find that David is just simply saying, Lord, I want to do this. I want to praise you. I want to render something back to you for what you've done for me. Amen. I simply want to say this morning, there's nothing wrong with the resource of the benefits. That's God. There's nothing wrong. Listen, boy, God give me this morning, speaking to my heart. God, listen, nothing wrong with the resource of these benefits. Nothing wrong with the riches of these benefits. Nothing wrong with, the reception of these benefits. A lot of people say, more the merrier. Lord, just keep them coming. Just keep them coming. But the problem lies in the response to the benefits. That's where the problem is. It's on our end. What are we doing about it? Are we letting the blessings of God, the benefits of God, are we letting them spoil us, or are we letting them stir us? You know what most church folk are, and I'm included, we're spoiled. God's been so good to us. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it'd probably do us all well to take a mission trip to some of these third world countries, my friend, where they have to meet out in the woods, amen, or meet in underground somewhere. Amen, that's right. An old thatch hut with old, you know, thatch roof and mud walls. Amen. They go in there and they get to singing the praises of God. Amen. I mean, seriously. Went to Honduras, my first mission trip to Honduras, and we rented a truck and drove. I thought I was going to see a sign that said Rogersville, 10 miles. We drove till I didn't think there was nowhere else to drive. And I'm rough country. And we got up there, and there's a little old small church building, and it was packed, slam out. And they were standing, I mean, all out outside. And it started pouring the rain. And they stood in the rain and listened to the preaching of the Word of God. Not one message, but every preacher in the house preached. Amen. If you preach 30 minutes, buddy, you insulted them. Because that missionary, when I asked him about those people, he said, preacher, do you realize that some of these people have been walking half a day to get to this church building tonight? And said they've walked through dangerous territory where, and of course he mentioned all kind of things like anacondas and all these big boa constrictors, all these man-eating stuff. And I said, we're riding in the truck going back. Well, when we, after the service, of course, you know, it's pouring the rain. After the service, we was going down the road, you know, and these people that were at the service was walking down the road without a flashlight with all of them big varmints in the woods. Well, I'd have been up on top of somebody's shoulders, I promise you. Hey, man, I guarantee it. Because the fear of the Lord's a beginning of wisdom. I'd have been on somebody's head, amen. But those people respond. Listen, they praised God. When I went to the Philippines, there were people that came from the southern islands section of the Philippines, and they gave every dime they had for a one-way trip, not even knowing how they were even going to get home to get to that camp meeting. We're spoiled. I'm telling you, we're so spoiled, it's pathetic. Amen. God has dumped His blessings on us, and that's just a good Tennessee definition for the word loadeth. He has just piled up and dumped His blessings on us. Amen. And we focus in on a few negatives. We focus in on the fact that maybe I don't have what this one has or that one have. And amen. And next thing you know, we're crying the blues instead of singing the praises. The problem is on the response part of it. Amen. Do you realize that David is implying in this verse that God will accept what we render to Him? God will accept that. He deserves it. I wrote this down. David writing this psalm, David is sensing a strong sense of obligation. God, you've been so good to me. I owe you. I could never repay you, but I owe you. Oh, don't we sing that song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe? What has happened to that? What has happened to that in our churches where people sense that they owe God something instead of God owing them something? Where is that God deserves me to live for Him? God deserves that I live right for Him and praise Him and honor Him. I don't know. I don't know where it's at, but it's missing in most churches. Let me give you this. I studied this out. The Lord showed this to me, and this spoke to my heart about that rendering. What am I going to render to the Lord? And so I got curious about that word and wondered about the first mention of that Hebrew word and where it's found in the Word of God. And you know where I found it first? I found it in Genesis 3:19. And I'm going to give you these verses now, and you're going to think, now what's that got to do with anything? If the word is used that way in Genesis 3:19, then it carries that same gesture in Psalms 116 in our text verse. Okay, that's how you do that. Well, here's the verse. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return. There's the word. It's translated return, Genesis 3:19. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt, here it is again, return. And I asked the Lord, I said, what's that saying to me? And God is saying that all that man is came out of the dust, and turns that around, and all that man is going to go back to the dust. So if you take that gesture and that application and put it in Psalms 116, our text verse, what shall I render unto the Lord? Everything that comes from Him to me, I'll turn it around and run it back to Him for the glory of God. Amen. That's a good point, I think. Again, we find that same gesture the second time that it's used in Genesis 8 in verse number 3 when it's talking about the flood waters. And the waters, here it is, returned from off the face of the earth continually. After the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Did you see that word return? Every bit of the water that came out went back. And put that in our text again. Everything that comes from God to us should move us, amen, to return that back to the Lord. Amen. Now selfishness will not do that. Selfishness will not do that. Sinfulness will not do that. Amen. Well, here's your third one. Brother Mark mentioned it or referenced some of it in Genesis 8 and verse 9. This is another mention of the word that is translated render. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she, here it is, returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were of the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into him, unto him in the ark. You see that? The very thing that was sent out came back. God says, all of my benefits, as I send them out to you and I direct them toward you, God says, I want to know, are you going to send them back? Are they going to come back to me? Are you going to let it move you in my direction? God has moved in our direction, and that should move us in His direction. But now, wait a minute. Brother Mark mentioned it. The Bible talks about it. There's another fowl that was released. The raven, guess what? It was released, but it never came back. The dove represents your spiritual nature, and the raven represents the old fleshly sin and sin-loving nature that you have. And guess what? It'll never return the blessings back to God. No, it'll be one-sided. So if you're not, and I'm not, if we're not grateful to God, then it's because we're living after the flesh, Brother Chuck. Amen. I'm talking about move us. We ought to let the blessings of God, the benefits of God move us. Amen. Well, how should it move you? Look in our text, and we'll be done here in just a little bit. Look in our text passage in Psalms 116. Let me run through these real quick. The first thing that David said that I'm going to let it move me to is I'm going to let it move me to love Him. Verse 1, I love the Lord. David said, I'm going to let the blessings of God have an effect on my affection and have an effect on my romantic relationship with God. God said, I'm going to love Him. Or David said, I'm going to love Him. Hey, man, is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask for God's people to love Him? Now listen, I've heard sinners tell me, oh, I love the Lord. You can't love the Lord. You don't know how to love the Lord. You don't have the Holy Spirit in you. You've got a nature that's against God. Amen. You're not saved. You're not His. He's not your Father. You can't love Him. You can't love Him. You've got to be saved to love Him. God's people loves Jesus. Is it too much to ask? Is that too much of a require? Is that too hard to ask that God's people just love Him for His benefits to us? Yes, amen. God help us to love Him. Hey, I want to tell you, God wants us to love Him. I don't know if you got that or not, but God wants us to love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. You know what that verse means? If you love me, you'll live right. A person that, my friend, is loose in their spirit, in their life, and they're immoral and immodest and things like that, they don't love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you'll love His Word, you'll love His commandments, you'll love His purity and His holiness, and you'll want to do that to please Him and to honor Him. Amen. So the first thing mentioned is you'll want to love the Lord, and there's a lot said in the Bible about that. And I believe every problem in our life is a love problem. Either we're not loving God the way we should, or we're loving things that we should not. One of the two. It's a love problem. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Luke 14:26, talking to his followers. If it says there in that verse, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and brother and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's not saying you got to hate your wife to be a follower of Christ, or hate your mom or daddy to be a follower, or hate your children to be a follower. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that in comparative language, that when you compare your love to the Lord, your love for the Lord should be so supreme and so superior that when you put it up side by side to your love for earthly relationships, that it ought to make your earthly relationships look like hate. One girl I read about in Ironside, one of Ironside's books, he's talking about this young girl, and her family was against God and didn't want nothing to do with God, and she slipped out the window and went down the street and heard a missionary preach and ended up getting saved. And she followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Of course, she was excommunicated. Her family treated her as if she had died. And finally, after several days, her daddy asked her, said, why do you hate me? Why do you hate me like this? And she said, oh, Daddy, I don't hate you. I just love Jesus more. Isn't that the truth? The first thing it ought to move you, God's blessings on you, is that you're to love the Lord. I mean, listen. I believe, amen. The church at Ephesus, and I don't have time to reference all those things, but the church at Ephesus, have you ever noticed the commendable things that was said about that church? I mean, they had a suppression of evil. They were separated. They were serving. They were steadfast. I mean, right on down the line. But God says, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. Do you love Jesus the way you used to? Do I love Him the way I used to? The devil wants to eat away your love affair with the Lord. Because he knows, hello, the devil knows that if he can decrease your love for the Lord, you will not live for Him. Because the principle of life is this, you will live for what you love. If you love the world, you don't mind it all being worldly. But if you love the Lord, you don't mind it all being godly. Amen. Here's another thing David said it moved him to in verse number 2 of our text. It said it moved him to a life of prayer. Verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Verse number 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You know what? One thing you can do to render back to the Lord for all of his benefits, not just love him, but have a prayer life. You know what the Lord really delights? The Lord really delights in hearing from us. But you know what I found out? You won't delight too much of talking to Him if you don't delight Him talking to you. But listen, develop a prayer life. He said, I will pray there in verse number 2 as long as I live. I will call upon the Lord as long as I live. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life this morning? Can I move on? I've got several. Here's another one. Write it down. Here's another one, verse number 3. When sorrows and pains and hardships come in verse 3, I just simply felt led of God to tell you, don't quit. Don't quit. Might be the easiest thing in the world to do, but you'll regret it. Don't quit. That's not out of place. People are quitting like flies, brother. They're dropping out. Every way you turn, people are just... I mean, how many people have we seen in the last year? Right here. How many have we seen right here in the last 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? How many have we seen right here that my friend would testify and participate in church services and activities and they're not even in church? Amen. Brother Mike, what should we render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward us? Don't quit. When the sorrows come in your life and the hardships come in your life, just do not consider quitting. Here's you another one. Write it down. Verse number 9. Verse number 9, live a God-conscious life. Verse number 9, David said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Live a God-conscious life. Go through your daily life and just think it. Have an awareness of God all the time. I will walk before the Lord. I will walk before the Lord. A God-conscious life. Verse number 10, we have another one that David said it's moving me to. These benefits that I'm going to render back to the Lord has moved me. He said in verse 10, I believe therefore and have spoken, and I was greatly afflicted. You know what he said? Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Lord, I believed. You know how you honor the Lord? Believe Him. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that not what the Bible says? What should we render unto the Lord? We should render our trust. Do you think it offends God when we doubt Him? No doubt it does. No doubt it does. Amen? And we make fun of the children of Israel, don't we? Come on. We make fun of them with that. Unto God, how in the world could you see such a deliverance as they saw? Have been led out with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, seen the manna come from heaven, water come out of a rock, the miraculous Red Sea opening, and all of that. And still, every time he turned around, they're talking about wanting to go back to Egypt. Isn't that something? We're just like them. We're just like them. God has been so good to us, it's pathetic, amen? And every time we turn around, we're thinking about quitting, we're down, and God help us. Amen. All right. Here's another one. Not only that, our trust, rend our trust unto the Lord, but also in verse number 10, be a competent witness. I believe and therefore have I spoken. Be a competent witness. God wants you to be verbal. Speak it. Talk it. Amen? Could it be the reason you're not speaking is because you don't believe? Mercy. That's right, isn't it? Amen. And then verse number 13, here's you another one. He said, I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation. Now that's not just the receiving of it, but that's all that goes with it. That's not just the being saved from sin, but it's also being saved from self, being saved from hell, all of it. Sanctification, all of that, it's involved. I will take that, Lord. Everything that salvation puts in my life, I'll take it, Lord. I will take the cup of salvation. I want to drink it all. I don't want to discard or disregard anything. I want it all. Lord, if you got it for me and it's attached to my salvation, I want it. What would that do if we had that attitude in our church? Amen. Take the cup of salvation. Verse 16, here's you another one. David said, here's something else I'm going to render back to the Lord for all his benefits. I'm going to be a servant of God. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of a handmaiden. Hast thou loosed my bonds? Twice in that verse, he said, I am thy servant. Where is that gone to? What has happened to that, Brother Ivan, in our churches? Where is the spirit of servitude? Where's that at? Amen? Everybody wants everything for nothing. Amen? And God did. Listen, God held back nothing to give us everything. What are we holding back to give God? My. So listen, be a servant. If you're going to render something back to the Lord, serve Him. Serve Him. Be a servant. Amen? Here's you another one. Write it down. Verse 14 and also verse number 18. Practice what you profess. Practice what you profess. Here's what David said twice. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. If you make a vow and you profess it, practice it. This is on my heart to ask you this morning. Does God's people have any confidence in you? Does God's people, that's what David said. David said he wanted to pay his vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. And he said it again in verse 18. Said the exact same verse in 18 again. He said, I'm going to practice what I professed among God's people. God's people's going to know that I'm living right. God's people's going to know that I've got a heart for God. Amen? Does God's people have any confidence in you? Somebody said the other day, said, I'm down in the Independent Baptist. I said, Independent Baptist is not your problem. I said, you're wanting to live a liberal life in an Independent Baptist church, and I don't get it. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? That's right. Hello, Tokyo. Practice what you profess. Make vows. Don't break them. Hang in there with it. Amen. If you've dropped the ball, get in the altar. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Pick the ball back up and carry it some more. That's right. Here's you another one. Verse 17 and verse 19. Have a faithful, worshiping church life. What do you mean? David is saying, what I'm going to do is going to be in the presence of all His people. David said, me living for God is going to be connected with God's people. Guess where God's people assembles? In church. Amen. I know. Listen, I've been preaching that ever since I've been preaching. And hopefully, and I'm intending on preaching it till I die, that the Word of God still requires us to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. That's right. Verse 17 and 19, and then last of all, here's it. Verse 15. Boy, Lord, give me this and bless my soul. I want to finish right. Verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know what David said? Lord, I want to render to You This truth right here, Lord, I want to finish well. I want, when I die, when I draw my last breath, I want that to be a precious sight, a precious thing in your sight. Amen. Amen. Boy, listen, there's a lot of things you can give to God. I gave you, I don't know how many right there, of what you can render back to God for all His benefits towards you. And there's not a one of them that I read there and gave to you this right out of that passage. There's not a one of them that every saved person cannot give back to God. Not a one. Every one of them we can do. Every one of them. Amen. Now, if God would have said, render back unto me $1,000,000. Well, that'd knock us all out. Wouldn't it? Or a large sum of money, or material goods, whatever. Hey, it would knock a lot of us out. But hey, He didn't say that. It don't cost nothing for you to love Jesus. Not financially, anyway. What does it cost you to have a prayer life? Amen. What does it cost you to trust Him? Just basic truths right down through there. David said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish right. I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to practice what I profess. I'm going to be faithful to church. And I'm going to finish well. I want to do that. Let's all stand to our feet.